This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 22 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1444 الموافق لي 17 من شهر نوفمبر 2022. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك، كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويرفع درجة المؤلف ابن كثير في العليين. So today inshallah we will continue from where we stopped. Last time we stopped at the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how He rewarded the good ones. And He said, this is the reward of their actions. As-salamu wa rahmatullah. And in the last class, we talk about the meaning of this, كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً جَزَاءً لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding them because of the سَعْي al-mashkur. And we talk about the nature of Jannah, which cannot be bought by righteousness, no matter how much big it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bima kuntum ta'amalun. So we're going to Jannah because of a righteous deed, but we know from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah is far greater than what you're doing. It's far greater than what you're doing, but there is always a way opened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to reach that place, which is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this mercy cannot be given except somebody who practices the righteousness. Right? You need the mercy to go to Jannah. And how to get that mercy? You need to be righteous. When you're righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that mercy, and then you will be able to attain the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeing yourself in that place which you know you don't deserve. Yeah, now you think you have qualification to be in that place, but when you go there, you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the place, you will understand that that place you don't deserve it. It is just mahdhu fadlillahi azza wa jal. Nothing can take you to paradise except fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, inna hadha kana lakum jaza'an wa kana sa'yukum mashkura. He says, this is the reward for your righteousness because your righteous deed is mashkur. Al-amal al-mashkur is the amal that is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed. That's the amal al-mashkur. In other words, al-amal al-salih, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should tell them that you are none other than Bashar. Bashar means human beings. Mithlukum, you know, so that nobody will come in the future in the way they already said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not human being, right? Like that person who said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a human being. He wasn't an angel. He was not a bird. He was not an animal. He was not a jinn. He was not wind, water, and everything. Nothing left except Allah, but he wasn't have a courage to continue from that. So he lets you feel in the blank, right? So this is going against the ayah of the Quran, because Allah says, innama ana, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. So that nobody will say, yeah, Bashar, Bashar, but maybe from some other dimension, you know. He says, مِثْلُكُمْ. مِثْلُكُمْ means مِثْلُكُمْ. Yani, what else you need which is clearer than this? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُحَيْلِ. So there's a very special human being. Human being, but special. We are not, I'll make it worse. Inshallah, you will go. Yeah. Say Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Yesterday in the class, I thought I cannot teach, but anyway, Alhamdulillah, it works. Yeah. When I need it, I'll take it by force. Jazakallahu khairan. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yuha ilayya annama ilahukum ilahun wahid. So I received the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is no ilah for you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is alone in this divinity. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. Then Allah SWT concluded that surah with the most excellent conclusion, which is telling you about the reality of this life, and that it is temporary, and a day will come, you'll be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. So Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. If you really want the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be perfect, to be excellent, your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be excellent, to be smooth, Allah says, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Let you engage in this life in al-amal al-salih. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Fudayl ibn Iyad told us the meaning of al-amal al-salih. He said, مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. وَمُوَافِقًا لِسُنَّةِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Very simple. Sincerity and also mutaba. Yeah, you do it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the meaning of as-sa'yul mashkur. No shirk. And whatever you're doing, you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try, make your life like this. Yeah? I remember one of the great scholars who passed away not very long, when they asked him, what is the most important thing that always, when you remember, you become happy. He said, since I became matured, I can't remember a single deed which I did without hoping the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I cannot remember a single action which came from me which wasn't for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, that's the kind of life that a Muslim should be living. He said that he cannot remember a moment when he did something that is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's mean they have intention in everything they do. And they focus so much, and they're conscious when they are doing things contrary to us. You don't tell them why they do this, you tell them, I forgot. No, they know exactly what they're doing, and they know what kind of intention they have. That's why somebody was right when he says, عَادَاتُ أَهْلِ الْيَقْضَى عِبَادَاتُ وَعِبَادَاتُ أَهْلِ الْغَفْلَى عَادَاتُ. The people of consciousness, even their cultural practices, they turn it into an act of worship. He drinks water, he has good intention in it. He hopes the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sleeps, he has good intention. He has relationship with his wife, he has good intention in that. You know, imagine Umar radiallahu anhu said, he said, sometimes I don't have interest in having relationship with my spouse, but I just remember that it might result in having somebody who will come and say, SubhanAllah, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, feeling comes to my mind, I would just force myself to have the interest to go and have a relationship with my spouse with the intention of having somebody from my children who will come and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's life. That's why their life is totally different. You know? They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. And they have subhanAllah, you know, translation and interpretation for everything they are doing. They have translation and interpretation for everything they are doing. That's why whatever change takes place in their life, they think about that a lot, contrary to our time. So this is a sa'il mashkur. Sa'il mashkur is the one that you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do it solely for his sake, and you follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that regard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila. So sa'yukum mashkur. Yani, is there any guide, you know, any criteria? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, yes, there is. And this is the Quran. If somebody hears about Jannah and he says, oh, mashallah, this is the best, yani, please, I'm going to work for this, but how? You know, how? That was the hope of the companions, and all of their objectives is to see themselves in Jannah. You know? You remember that person that the Prophet ﷺ gave him an open check? I also cannot remember his name now. But one of the companions was just sitting down with the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Prophet ﷺ gave him an open check. not a check in the concept of our, you know, money going to the bank and say, Alhamdulillah, afahum Allahu min al-buluk. They didn't have buluk in them, you know. They had to come and have conference on Islamic bank. The life is all Islam. No. Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ gave him, what I meant by open check, he told him, sal. You know, imagine he just said, ask. SubhanAllah, if you are that person, maybe you tell him, please ask Allah to make me there. No, wait, someone, you know. Make Elon Musk my driver, you know. I heard somebody making dua. He says, Ya Allah, I want you to make me rich. But I want the first thing that will come to my account is the amount of the money which is given to Qarun. That's the initial thing that I want to see in my account, you know. Miskin, he doesn't know. But these are people nowadays. But the companions are not like this. He said, when the Prophet ﷺ told him, Sal, you know, ask. I call it open check because he's not restricted. Just ask. SubhanAllah, he was very smart. He said, Ya Rasulullah, as'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. Ya Rasulullah, I want to be your neighbor in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. This one? Yeah, in other words, you need to choose something else, or you have something else, because it's, you need a lot for you to reach this. You know? So he says, أَوَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. قَالَ هُوَ ذَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, that's it. That's the only thing I want. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَعِنْيَا لَنَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. So then, if this is the case, then help me. And help yourself, you know, by intensifying the amount of the sujood. That's been prayer, a lot of sunnah prayer, right? Yeah. Which is neglected by most of the students of knowledge, especially those people who are calling themselves the righteous people. You get an idea? Because you see, the least in terms of sunnah prayers, they are the people who always believe that they are on the correct manhaj, which is absolutely wrong. Because the manhaj of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is qa'im ala an-nawafil. They already passed the age of fara'id, you know. Now the competition between them is in the nawafil. It becomes their hobby, the Abu Salihin. You know, that is just like their hobby. They can't live without it, you know. They cannot survive without it. They're not talking about wajibat. Wajibat mafurugun minha. And these are like blood and flesh for them. But now they're talking about beyond that. And you have, you know, some students of knowledge, you rarely see them pray in the sunnah. They don't pray at home, they don't pray in the masajid. And every time having ikhtilaf and conflict concerning simple, tiny issues. That's why when they criticize one of the scholars and his problem, it is because, I mean, they criticize him because he prays so much nawafil a lot. And I love this defense, you know, from Imam Dhahabi. He said, they criticize him because he prays sunnah a lot. He says, Ajib. وَهَلْ مِنَ الْعَلْمِ إِلَّا الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. He said, what is the point of having knowledge which you don't put into practice and action? You learn that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to increase the amount of the sunnah other than the fara'id so that you will be on the same side. But then somebody will tell you that this person is not good. You know, you should stay away from him because he prays a lot of sunnah. Wallahi, you think it was a joke, right? We do have people that we used to see them as somebody whose shaitan is playing with. I asked one of them, when you stay away from Taraweeh in the Masjid al-Haram, they don't pray in the Masjid al-Rasulullah because they pray 11 rakat. I told them, Yana, see, all of us call us muhaddith. Sheikh Abbad, you see him, an old man, you know, in the front line, you know, until the end of the prayer, then he goes out. No matter how much sunnah you have and how much you have in terms of following the correct manhaj, those ones are beyond you, you know. But they know what it means. They stay and pray, and you have some of those younger ones, you know. SubhanAllah, they go home. I asked one of them, when you go home, you prayed? He smiled. He said, not every time. Because they claim that they will go home and pray at home because this one is wrong, you know. I don't know which madhab and who are they following in that amongst the Salaf al-Saleh, because if you look at the predecessors and see their opinion concerning that matter, you will see it is totally different from the way we see. Sheikh Al-Islam bin Taymiyyah has a very nice approach concerning the night prayers, whether they're restricted or they're not, and what exactly a Muslim should be doing, and what is the nature of the Salaf al-Saleh when it comes to the night prayer. I think it's okay, I'm the problem, Amazin. Yeah, because I'm living it like this. So it's just after me to put it here, then they can hear. In Nottingham University, they're very advanced. I don't know now, but in the past, they have very sensitive mic, you know. You revivers always the low quality ones. You know? We have to put sometimes inside our mouth for it to work. You know? Anyway. Khalas, message reach, inshallah. قال إنا نحن نزلنا عليك القرآن تنزيلا. So let's go back to the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed to you the Quran. And the revelation is firmly established, you know, in a way there is no doubt in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يَذْهُرْ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدَ إِلَّا مَنْ يَتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. You know, the way the Quran is revealed, you know, Allah doesn't need to do that. Yeah, but He mentioned the purpose. Even the way Jibreel came, nobody will expect Shaitan to deceive Jibreel, alayhi salam. You know, in terms of size, no jinn can stand for him. They know, you know, that's why in Badr, Ra'izu, lamma shafa Jibreel, what did he do? Nakasa ala aqibah. So what did he do? He ran away. Qala inni bari'u minkum. إني أرى ما لا ترون إني أخاف والله if not because of the Quran he will be shy to complete this. This is kadhib. But he's talking about al-khawf al-lughawi. Yeah, يخاف من عقاب الله الفوري. He says إني أخاف الله والله شديد العقاب. Is he right? Yes, he was absolutely right. And as Professor said, he said that when he saw Jibreel making the angels, you know, line up, you know, they're about to charge. So he ran away. He left them. Very honest. Shaitan is always honest, you know, with his people in this regard. He goes with them when he knows that he will not get himself into trouble. Once the thing comes, Shaitan will leave and go and let the person suffer. No compromise in that. Person should face the consequences any by himself. So Jibreel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe him with strength and power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mirratin fastawa, you know, and he's sahib quwwa wa haiba wa mandhar hasan, you know, all this hadith wala haraj, you know, very handsome, very strong and powerful. And usually when you see something which is so beautiful, so handsome, strength is not there. You know, these people usually, okay, anyway, they're usually weak. But this one is different. Angel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describe him with strength and power. So there is no expectation of having Shaitan threatening Jibreel to take something from him. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَةِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. So that when the Quran reached, according to one interpretation, the Prophet ﷺ will be certain that this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. That's why when Jibreel is giving the Quran, Shaitan is also sending his own recitation to the Prophet ﷺ, so that Rasulullah ﷺ will be confused. Rather than reading that which is given to him by Jibreel ﷺ, he will end up reading that which is given to, sending by the Shaitan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَيَنْسَخُ اللَّهُ مَا يُلْقِي الشَّيْطَانِ ثُمَّ يَحْكِمُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِ. What does that mean? It's called a sin. What Shaitan is casting does not even reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will chase them away from the time they came from Shaitan before they reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them away. So that only what Jibreel sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be reaching him. That's how it is. So there is no chance for Shaitan to send something to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he will get confused, you know, and recite that which shaitan is given to him rather than what Jibreel is given. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it in a way which is firmly established, and there is no doubt in that revelation. So the guidance and the path and the sirat al-mustaqim for us to reach a paradise is the Quran. And you Allah, this is the only way for people to succeed in this life until the hereafter. Yeah, nowadays people don't agree with this, right? Yeah, if you ask any Muslim, will tell you, yeah, Quran or Sunnah. But in terms of application, we have other choices and options based on our ijtihadat. Right? I told you last time somebody came back from one of the Western countries. He met one of our scholars, Sheikh Omar Fulata. I know those of you who live in Saudi, whether you know him or not, but one of the great scholars of in Medina. Actually, not just scholarship, but kind of a big shakhsiyah in the city, in Medina, to Rasulullah. We used to attend his classes. He's the one who is teaching in Rawda, next to the house of Rasulullah. Somebody came back from the Western community and he met him. So he saw the development in the building and all of this. So he came back to Saudi. He met Umar Fulat. And he told him, Sheikh, how can we reach those guys? Sheikh Omar told him, Bil kitab wa sunnah. SubhanAllah, he told him, no, Sheikh, la yakfi. SubhanAllah. He said, this is not enough. He said, we have to work in the way they work. Yeah. So that's how much they're brainwashing us. That's why we're trying to imitate them in that which is not part of us. And we fail, and we will keep on failing. Wallahi, now we keep on failing. I don't know whether you're born or not. You're born. I know. I'm just kidding. And there was a time the Saudi was played football with. Which country defeated them in a very, 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 very funny way? We are in Saudi to study our degree. They're playing with Germany. You know those guys, I think they live in football, they die in football, they have classes for football. Which country has this? We don't have this. We play football for fun. Right? But those people, they have classes, they have courses for football, you know. And they have Saudi playing with Germany. So I hear a lot of comments, you know, after they finish 8-0 or something. That was Germany. Is it Brazil? No, that was Germany. Just revise your history. Revise your history. So when we came, the country exploded. Wallahi, this is dhulm. This is dhulm, you know. Somebody said, this is Qurat al-Sallah. This is not Qurat al-Qadam, you know. But what makes it so amazing was the comment. And there's a reason why I'm bringing it here. Somebody said, we the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated, he said, especially the Arabs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them up because of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, if we choose something else, we're going to go down, you know. So he said, nothing can bring us up except this. If we look for success and becoming superpower in the world through something else, we'll become like this, you know. I like this comment because it's absolutely true. Playing game is okay. You play game, it's okay, it's nice to enjoy life as long as it's halal. But we shouldn't emphasize on it in a way we can compromise our values. You know, our values and our religious and cultural practices because of this. I heard one of the journalists nowadays saying one very nice statement. He said, we are not, whether he's doing it politically or not, but he was saying, we cannot, you know, compromise any of our values or religious practices because of 28 days. 28 days? For the new World Cup that is coming, 28 days. Because everyone is talking, when you go to that country, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do that. Yeah, we're not supporting any of this, but we watch the comment being said by the people. This is an absolutely correct thing that every Muslim should have in mind. Whether they're following or not following, but this is correct. A person shouldn't compromise any part of his deen because of something that will not last. Even if the thing is going to last, at the end of the day, you will fizzle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Qur'ana tanzila." So all that you have to do is to follow the Quran if you want to succeed. And the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in your effort to convince them to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran and the Sunnah, you will face a lot of difficulties and challenges. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah subhanahu face a lot. They do everything possible to make sure that they cool him down. But none of them succeeded. They failed in all of their missions. They use wealth, they use politics, they use the power, they use everything, they use leadership also, it doesn't work. And the Prophet ﷺ was not willing to succeed. They use persecution. They persecuted the Prophet ﷺ for 3 years. They boycotted him. People have nothing to eat except grasses and old skins of animals. They live for 3 years like this. And the Prophet ﷺ was not willing to submit because he knows exactly what he is doing. They beat him up, you know, subhanAllah, a lot. And he bled until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pity him, he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to come and comfort him. You remember that hadith, right? He came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, "Ya Rasulullah," and he found him, subhanAllah, in its situation which is full of stress. Because just now they beat him and he's so bleeding, you know. So Jibreel came to him, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, what happened?" The Prophet ﷺ said, they just beat me. So Jibreel told him, "Don't worry." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, would you like me to show you something?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." He said, "You see that tree?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Please tell it to come to you." SubhanAllah. The Rasulullah ﷺ called it, it came to the Prophet ﷺ. And then Jibreel asked him, "Ask the tree to go back." You know, you might say, "What is the connection?" But the Prophet ﷺ understood the message. You shouldn't focus on this. Allah SWT knows exactly what is going on. Keep moving. Allah SWT just wants you to relax and forget. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And he told him, "Jibreel, this is more than enough for me." You know, just Allah SWT sent him. So he received a lot. Allah told him, "First bear, just be patient." And my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, this is the key to success in life. Patience. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tilka min anba'i al-ghaybi nuhiha ilayka ma kunta ta'lamuha anta wa la qawmuka min qabli hadha fasbir innal 'aqibata lil-muttaqin." Nuh alayhi salam lived with his people how many years? 2-3 years, right? 950 years. 950 years. Were they easy? No. Actually, some scholars said he was called Nuh because they said they beat him, they punish him. They think he's even dead and then he comes back again and breathes. Wallahu alam, Allah told us his name is Nuh, whatever the cause was. But we believe that it wasn't an easy. It was very tough days for Nuh alayhi salam. But he survived 950 years. Ibrahim, all of those prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lut alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that nobody followed him except a few. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just go out, you and your family. That's why some scholars said only his two daughters accepted him. Can you imagine the pressure you are living in a country, nobody is Muslim except you, and all of them are your enemy. Imagine if they are kuffar, and they let you practice your religion, and they don't threaten you, it's okay. You can survive somehow. A threat from everywhere. And only him and his two daughters. But he survived. He passed the test until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the evil consequence of the zalimun. You know? And there we go. All of them. Yunus alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, he had to come in front of those Amalika. You know, Amalika means a really, really, really big, you know. And he is alone standing before them, talking to them in that way, you know. Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Halafi said, this actually is one of the greatest miracles that was ever given to a prophet. And one of the greatest miracles is this miracle. Although it is so hidden in the way some scholars even think that Hud alayhi salam did not bring any miracle. Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Halafi says, is there any miracle greater than having a single person speaking in front of these Amalika and threatening them and telling them, فَكِيلُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُثِرُونَ. I dare anyone to touch me. And all of you, right from the king all the way down to the lowest person. And nobody was even able to make a move. So none of them was facing an easy life. And therefore, you also as a da'i, the same thing has been mentioned to you, fasbir. You're not going to face an easy life. Right? As long as you're saying the truth, you know what life means in this dunya. You sometimes even from your family, you face a lot of pressure. Not just outer community, from your family. So you have to get ready with that. And the Prophet ﷺ already told us that this is going to happen. And therefore, a Muslim should be very ready for this. وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. Don't you ever submit to any one of them. آثِمْ السِّنَةً أَوْ كَفُورًا. Or somebody who disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his blessings and his bounties. Which means no compromise. Okay? So I will remind you a bayt shi'ri mentioned by Abu Muhammad. I said it so many times, but I really want you guys to always remember this, right? He says, وَإِذَا دُعِيتَ لِبِدَعْتٍ أَوْرِيبَةٍ فَهْرُبْ بِدِينِكَ آخِرَ الْبُلْدَانِ فَالدِّينُ رَأْسُ الْمَالِ فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِهِ فَضَيَاعُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْخُسْرَانِ. Actually, that mean is زائدة. You should remove it. You should say أَعْظَمُ الْخُسْرَانِ. When somebody invites you to anything that is considered disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or innovation, or violating the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَهْرُبْ بِدِينِكَ أَخِرَ بُلْدَانِ. He said, run away, to save your religion, to protect your religion, even if that can cause you to go to the last part of the world. He said, just go, that's better for you. Why? He said, فَالدِّينُ رَأْسُ الْمَالِ فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِهِ فَضَيَعُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْخُسْرَانِ. Because your capital, in business, أَصْحَيَا جَمَعَةَ الْإِقْتِصَادِ. Business, the most important thing is the capital. Yeah. The capital in your life, and the most sensitive and the most important thing in the life of a human being and jinn is religion. The greatest loss is the loss that happened because of the religion. That's why Dajjal is the greatest fitna that exists on earth. Why? Because it affects the iman. And you, Allah, any musibah that does not affect your religion, wallahi amruha hayyun. Amruha hayyun. Any musibah that doesn't affect your religion, for amruha hayyun. The Muslim should handle that. But the real musibah is the musibah that touch your religion. Real musibah is the musibah that touch your aqidah. Because maximum you will get with the other musaib is to live this life. So what if you are going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that respective manner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you in Jannah. So what? But if you lose your religion, where do you go? A person will go to Jahannam forever and ever with no end. That's why in the past tense, they don't have this concession in the way we have. In this Ummah, this is the only one, we are the only one who got this, That if you do something by mistake or you are forced to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you responsible of it. Only the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this. That's why he said, Rufiya, inna Allah rafa'an ummati, awada'an ummati, al-ru'ayat, al-khata' wa nisyan wa mastukrihu alayh. In the past, it's not like that. You remember in the case of Adam alayhi salam, Allah said in Surah Taha, he said, فَعَصَى عَدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Adam alayhi salam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he disobeyed Allah and he was misguided in that sense. But you remember in the same surah, he says, وَلَقَدْ أَعْهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ. نَسَّبَ إِلَيْهِ النِّسْيَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he forgot. In our Sharia, when you forgot something, what happens? Allah will not hold you accountable of it. Things that you do out of forgetfulness, Allah will not hold you accountable of it. If you are forced to do it, and if you don't do it, you will lose your life. You will not be responsible. You get it? And things that you do by mistake, Allah will not hold you responsible. If it is related to the rights of humankind, you pay them that, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your side is okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some situations, because they're very sensitive, ask you to do kafara, and that's it. But in the past, it's not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold Adam responsible for forgetfulness, because he said, fanasi, he forgot. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish him for that. That's mean their sharia is different from our sharia. Ashab al-Kahf, when they sent somebody to go to the city and get them food, they told him what? وَلِيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَيْشَعَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحْدًا. Why لِيَتَلَطَّفْ? Why is he supposed to disguise himself? They said, إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُكُمْ أَوْ يُعِدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If they get you, they will force you, they will stone you, or they will force you to change to their religion. Now, they mentioned compulsion, but still they said, if you do that, you will never succeed. But asbaha temporary now. Okay? So if you do that, you will never succeed. So they said, if you let them force you, you know, to go against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never succeed in your life. Roger? كل شيء ضعيف عند الرواية بس رئيسه موجود صح. ربما المشكلة في الجهاز عندي ليس المشكلة عندك. Okay, ممكن يستمع من طريقك. معقد واشتغل الأبد ما اشتغل. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If you look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Khabbab ibn al-Arad complained to him, he said, شَكَوْنَا إِلَى النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مَا نَلْقَى مِنْ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He said, we complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we received from the mushrikeen, you know? He himself, when you look at his back, is completely burnt. Yeah, Bilal, you have Ammar ibn Yasir, you have so many people who were punished for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not happy with the complaint, because it's too early to start doing this. And then he told them, in the past, a man will be brought and they will ask him to change his religion and he will not accept to change his religion. At the end of the day, they will put the minshar, the sword on his head, and cut him into two pieces, and still he would not agree to change his religion. So this supports the statement of the scholars that this concession and leniency, it is only given to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have to confront the fitna. But still, sometimes to be very tough, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to be patient. Allah says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيَا إِلَيْكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أنت ولا قومك من قبل هذا فاصبر. He says فاصبر. He talk about Nuh عليه السلام and he told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فاصبر. وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. So the best weapon a Muslim has is is patience, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا وَاذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remember him, to intensify the amount of the dhikr that he's doing in the day, and then and evening and night, and also morning and evening, you know, all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يذكر الله على كل أحيان. Yeah. So you have to do this. يعني بعض البلدان تربيتهم في هذا تفوق كل ما تجده في بلدان الأخرى. Some of the countries, you know, the way they give tarbiyah to their children, you know, subhanAllah. I don't want to mention them, but you know, these countries that I'm talking about, you know, simple things, a person will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From time to time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always on the tongue. And subhanAllah, in some of these countries, you go on the road also, you know, those lawafit, you see, lawafitat, you know, you see, udhkurullah, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, you know. It's a very good practice, you know, to remind people about being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key to success in this life is dhikr of Allah. Nuh alayhi salam, when he was about to die, he left his children with what? Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Amurkum bila ilaha illallah. And he told them why. He commanded them to maintain la ilaha illallah. And he does not mean saying la ilaha illallah. He meant practicing la ilaha illallah. He meant practicing la ilaha illallah. And wa amurukum bi subhanallah. He said, I also command you to say subhanallah. فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِهَا يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقِ. As according to the narration of Al-Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad, he says, I command you to say subhanallah because it is the prayer of everything. وَبِهَا يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقِ. In Surah 2, Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ التَّسْبِيحَ. Everything is making tasbih, and this is the source of the sustenance. You want risk? عَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. You want the mercy? عَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. You are depressed? عَلَيْكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. It's all about iman. You know, you can't tell me it doesn't work. No, wallahi, it works. 100% it works with everyone. But you know, medicine need a conducive environment for it to act. Rayan might take medicine, Abdurrahman takes it, Abdurrahman, it doesn't work with him, but it works with Rayan. Why? Because the body is not ready for it, although they are suffering from the same illness. That's why preparation is needed, you know? Iman is needed. Iman is needed. All of these things that you hear in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman is needed, because the scholar said, you cannot try Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, you come to me, you say, okay, let me test him to see what will happen. Yeah, that's human being. When it comes to Allah, Allah does not need us. You cannot say, well, let me try and see. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you with your try. Allah wants you to come with the aqidah that this is what he said, and it will work. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it works. Most of the people, if not all the people who have good aqidah in terms of drinking the zamzam, go and listen to the Akhbar al-Salihin. They drank it, they got what they're looking for. How come many of us drink? Because we have doubt, you know. We have that. We too much believe in more than medicine, than our belief in the divinely given medicines. The Prophet ﷺ said, Shifa'u suku. Shifa'u suku. You see a lot of narrations from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, from the Prophet ﷺ emphasizing that this water has this capacity in it. It helps a lot in many things, but it needs iman. It needs iman. I remember a brother who was our senior in Islamic University of Medina. He graduated long ago before we came. He has ulcers. Very long ulcers. He said the last time for his ulcers was the time he drank Zamzam. He just drank Zamzam with the intention of looking for cure. That was the last time with it. It goes. How come people are still drinking and they don't get that which he got? Difference is iman. So fix your iman. Don't test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that yes, this is the source of comfort to your heart. Allah says, Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bidhikrillah. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will find tranquility. Qala wa min al-layli fasjud lahu wa sabbihhu laylan tawila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to increase the sujood at night. The night prayer, right? Imam Muhammad said, طالب علم لا يقوم الليل. He says, Subhanallah, student of knowledge, don't pray the night prayer. You don't understand, you know, to have somebody who claimed to be a student of knowledge, but he doesn't pray at night. In our time, they are the good ones, actually. They're busy with something else. Yeah, but whatever you're doing, squeeze some time, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah, when he was going to meet the Mushawizin, you know that debate that happens between him and the Mushawizin in front of the one of the kings. And subhanAllah, what they used to do is they go and put the oil, I think frog oil, they put in their body, with the help also of the shayateen and the jinn. So they would get inside the fire, and the fire doesn't burn them. So he knows his tricks. He told them, I agree to debate with you in the presence of the king, but before you come to this place, you have to wash yourself with salt. You know, they did, and they came. He said, let's light off fire and get inside. They refused to go. He told them, قُمْ بِنَا نَدْخُلِ النَّارِ فَمَنْ اِحْتَرَكَ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. He told them, stand up, let's go and get inside the fire. Both of us, whoever get burned, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him. They refused to do. He told them, no, there is no fire now. He said, we can make one, even the small one is enough. Just put your finger inside. If you don't scream, you win. But if you get burned, let the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon anyone who does it. SubhanAllah, they said, some student asked him, they told him, Sheikh, you know these guys, they're using jinn. And they're using magic, they're using all of these things. In case they get inside the fire, most likely they will not get burnt. But you, when you go inside, you will be burnt. How come you were so sure? You tell them, let's go, you know. What if they went? Are you going to go? He said, yes, I will. He told them, I will go. They asked him, why are you so sure? He said, because I know what I did last night. He said, I spent my night begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support me, and I do have a yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not embarrass me in the presence of those ones. That's what we call yaqeen. SubhanAllah. That's what we call yaqeen. And Ismail and many other scholars from the Salaf al-Salih, subhanAllah, they're being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night, and they're being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, you know, aksabahum, that prestigious nature, the haybah, is a deen. Sultan al-Ulama, you know, when those tyrant leaders, they see him, they shiver, you know. Abdurrahman bin Abi Dhib, one of the leaders, went to his grave and put his leg on the grave. He said, I used to fear this one more than the way I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why somebody was right when he says, Man ittaqallaha dana lahu kullu shay. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is going to bow for you. So night prayer is essential, it's necessary in the life of you. Muslim. Everyone says, don't forget this. Night prayer is necessary in your life. Even if you don't go for 11 rakat, you know, you don't go for 8 rakat or whatever rakat, at least start, wake up at night and pray 2 rakat, 3 rakat, and then go back to sleep, you know. If you're so lazy like Fulan, just pray 1 rakat and go back. Do we call it night prayer? Yes, you'll be shy to call it night prayer, but it is still prayer at night. It's night prayer. A good idea, but the number of the card are very little. But who knows? Wallahi uqsimu billah. Allah might give you Jannah because of that one rakah you stand up and do, because He is making the decision, not us. Yeah, Allah is making the decision. You can't say, no, this one is more valuable than this. No, that's not our job. This is what the scholars call al-iftiyatu ala Allah, making fatwa on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no knowledge. Yeah, to look at his prayer and say it is more valuable than his. Yeah, this is talking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having permission for you to do that. And it is really, really bad, as Abu Huraira said, concerning that person who told his friend, Wallahi, لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. He said, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, Allah will never forgive you. Immediately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to that prophet to tell that person who is saying this statement, you know, he said, مَنِ الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ مَنِ الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَّا أَغْفِرَ لِفُلَانِ يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَغْفِرَ لِفُلَانِ. He said, who is that person that is swearing by my name that I would never forgive so-and-so? You know what he told him? He said, tell him, لِيَسْتَأْنِفِ الْعَمَلِ. لِيَسْتَأْنِفِ الْعَمَلِ means, let him start from the scratch. Why? Because in another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ. He said, I forgive that person and all the righteous deeds of you, the one who said I will not forgive, I destroyed. Who asked him to talk on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, that person who did so many things, and when he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he died in the wrong way also. Very wrong way, committing a very, very, very big sin. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala met him, even after death, he doesn't stop committing the sin because he gave a wasiyah to his family to burn him. But when Allah met him, what happened? Was he in hell? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, why did you do that? He said, Ya Allah, because of my fear of you, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive. That's why a Muslim shouldn't have despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah. If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you always have a hope. You maintain the balance because you know him. Shadidul iqab. He said, Nabbi ibadi. You have to maintain the balance. That's the meaning of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fear him, but you have a big hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amara bi arba'atin an yukhraju min an-nar, that's in Sahih Muslim. One of them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him out and he asked the angel to take them back, one of them said, Ya Allah, Wallahi ma kana dhanni bik idh akhrajtani minha an tu'idani fiha. He says, Ya Allah, Wallahi, I never thought that when you took me out of it, you would take me back to it. Allah told the angels, take him to paradise. So alhamdulillah, is Allah the one who is making decision. Imagine human beings, if we are the one who are making decision, who will go to paradise? Nobody. Yeah, you have people who curse themselves. Even he himself also sent himself to hell. You get the idea? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So as I said, do qiyam al-layl, you know, at least one rak'ah. Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, ish ma shi'it fa innaka mayit. Wa ahbib man shi'it fa innaka mufariquh. Wa a'mal ma shi'it fa innaka majziyun bihi, aw mujzan bihi. Wa alam anna sharaf al-mu'min qiyamuhu bil-layl. Wa izzuhu istighna'u anil-nas. Very valuable advice from Habib to Habib. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving advice from Jibreel, leader of the angel to the leader of the human beings. He told him, love whomsoever you wish, but he should know that you will leave him one day. And do whatever you want. You will be compensated and rewarded based on what you did. And also, he says, live as long as you wish. A day will come, you will leave this life. And he said, you should know that the honor and nobility and the high ranking that a Muslim can get is based on the Qiyam al-Layl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves Qiyam al-Layl so much, so much. You can understand why is it something really big in Islam, because at that time, usually everyone is sleeping. And you can squeeze time. Allah wants these type of initiatives, you know. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is amazed with a slave that tar an wita'i, aw wita'i, that jumped from his bed, you know, and left his blanket just to go and pray two rakat at night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed with this, you know. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud jumped one day to go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his wife is there. She told him, where are you going, Ya Abdullah? He said, I'm going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, we still have some time, you know. We still have some time. Please, do come. Yeah, any husband and wife, right? She told him, we still have some time. So he raised up his hand. He said, Allahumma, huma ithna, wana wahid. Ya Allah, there are two. And I am alone. Which means, I cannot fight two of them. She said, who is the other one? He said, Shaitan. Yeah, because at that time when he woke up, only Allah knows how much he fought himself for him to wake up. Because when you sleep, especially across, you know, the last part of the night, this is when shaitan comes to your ears and say what? عليك ليل طويل فرقد. Sing song, you know. عليك ليل طويل فرقد. So you have naturally, this is the best time for sleep. Do you get an idea? Especially these days, across Fajr, it rains, you know. The sleep is very hard. Yes, Allah, sometimes you'll be trying to sleep, you fight yourself to sleep, it will not come. But when the last part of the night comes, the sleep will come shadeed. Why? Because the shaitan is trying his best to make you, you know, unsuccessful in that regard. He rather lets you, you know, compromise his interests than seeing you getting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan was saying, telling him, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٍ طَوِيلٍ فَرْقُدْ. You still have long night, keep sleeping. And his wife is telling him, please come back to us. So Abdullah Masood said, Ya Allah, well, I don't think I can fight two of them, so I need support. Yeah, so she found it so big, if he's inviting Allah to come to his side in the battle, you know, that's too big. So she told him, go. I'll pray to Rabbi Kareem. But which one is the best one? When you wake up, what do? You leave Fadilatul Ha sleeping. No, you wake up. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon a person who wakes up at night to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he wakes up his wife also to come and pray with him. If she refused to wake up, you put some water on her face. Yeah, that's if the relationship is good in the house, no? Otherwise, gadan satakunu fi bayti jaddiha mush abu hafati. So he says, this is good. You put water on her face so that she can wake up and pray with you. You know, not being greedy. And he said, may Allah show mercy upon a sister who woke up and she tried to wake up her husband. If he doesn't wake up, she puts some water, but she has to be very careful, otherwise he'll punch her. And face and tell her, Allahu Ghafur Rahim. Ya ukhti, this is sunnah, not wajib. Even wajib, if you were sleeping, Allah forgive the sleeping. Ya ghafar Allahu li. And now you're sad. Anyway, so that shows that it is necessary for a person to create an environment for this. Allah, the Prophet is talking about Bayt al-Mubahad. You create an environment for this, then you can apply things according to the sunnah and it works. Yeah, she will appreciate it. She will be happy with that. You will appreciate it. You will be happy with that. But trust me, if there is no preparation, it might be one of the causes for that marriage to go. So a person should be very smart. Applying some of the sunnahs, you must make some introduction for that to get ideas so that the application will take place in the night way. So night prayers are very great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best position in Jannah. And he told him, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْبُودًا. He says, we have given you additional task that you should pray at night. He said, you should pray at night as an additional task for you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to resurrect you at the best place on the Day of Judgment. So the reward for night prayer is to get the best position in this life and the hereafter. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you will not be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night sincerely, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neglects you in the daytime. Allah is not like this. The one who doesn't break and doesn't embarrass and disappoint those people who attach themselves to him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come to him, Allah go to you actually before. Before you come, more than the way you are coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala go to you before. More than the way you are coming. Try and monitor your life properly, you know, and do the best and the correct interpretation. Be righteous, you will see a lot of amazing things taking place in your life, which will give you a lot of satisfaction in this life and help you to maintain your attitude to the manners. قَالَ وَسَبِّحُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to read a lot, you know. That's why at night, the tasbih, starting from the recitation of the Quran, at night is supposed to be longer. Yeah, that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the righteous people, the Salaf al-Saleh, when it comes to the night prayer, they don't have a limited amount in terms of number, but they have limited amount in terms of the time they woke up. Ibn Rahman Sa'di woke up, he has only 1 hour left for Fajr. And the family heard him saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi." They thought that maybe somebody died. But he found only 1 hour left for him to Fajr. He said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." You know. These are the salihun nahsabhum kadhalika wallahu hasibuhum. You know. They regretted. You know. Last time I was sharing a story with of one of the righteous people, which I did not complete. They told him, "Why are you crying when you're about to die?" He said, I know what I did. I have a big hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. But I'm just crying because I remember that from now onward, I will not be able to do the Qiyam al-Layl. He said, those were the best days of my life. And I know after death, I will not be able to continue with all of these. SubhanAllah, you can see the enjoyment he is having in this life in the way he even forgot what is waiting for him in the grave, because life in that place is more enjoyable than here. Who would agree to stay with coronavirus and some other diseases every time, you know? And all of this is because of our attitude and our manners. So pray as much as you can. So long, Qiyam is better. So the Salaf al-Salih, Ibn Taymiyyah said, when they wake up and they find they have a lot of time, they pray 11 rakat. They don't go beyond that because they will do a long recitation like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when they woke up and they found that they have only small amount of time, what they usually do, they intensify the amount of the rakat. You know, the sujood will be more. You know, the qiyam will be less, but the sujood will be more to maximize the benefit. You get the idea? Because if they go with long recitation, they might not be able to pray even the 11 rakat. إِنَّ هَؤُلَا يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Allah SWT told the Prophet ﷺ not to worry about those non-believers and the criminals and the munafiqs, because they have nothing in this dunya except to love the dunya, and they left behind them يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Which one is that? The Day of Judgment. They don't like it. And it is the heaviest day a person can ever imagine. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَشَدَدْنَا أَسْرَهُمْ وَإِذَا شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْدِيلًا. Allahu Akbar. Allah SWT says, we created them, but they forgot that. And we give them their strength and the needs. It's called Sashadadna Asram. We fixed their Asram, we fixed their creation. It's a way now, in the best form of creation. All of these blessings necessitate what? Shukur, an appreciation. But they do not do. Instead of appreciating and also showing grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became kuffar. Allah, and they started giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many examples. He cannot do this, he cannot do that. Allah said, وَإِذَا شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْتِيلًا. If we wish, we're going to take them away and replace them with somebody else. Some scholars said he's referring to the Day of Judgment. If we want, we can bring fresh, new people, not them. But the body is different, you know. The soul is the same, but the body is different. Or we go with the other close meaning that Allah SWT is talking about. If he wants, he will just take them off and bring others. But most likely this is referring to the creation. Allah SWT, if you wish, he can make them in another different way. But then أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْتِيلًا. As he said in the first part of the surah, I'm sorry, in the Surah Al-Qiyamah, he says, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانًا. We have the ability to even level, you know, and make the banana of that person equal in terms of size. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you go with that interpretation, as I said, somebody says, all the way to the fingerprint. So that's dhimman, included in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Because if Allah increases the size and maintain it, it's going to be perfectly the same and equal in terms of size, for sure to bring each and every one of us with the fingerprint, with everything, you know. That's very simple. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. قال إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا. This surah is none other than a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, whoever wish should take the correct path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever wish to change, he can change and become a righteous person and be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. But your Mashiach is always tabi'a li Mashiatillahi Azza wa Jal. This is Radd ala man? Kulla ula ahl al-batil. Alladhina khadu fi al-qatr. القدرية والجبرية، القدرية الذين قالوا لا لا قدر والأمر أنف أي مستأنف، يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى you know, those people he, most likely would never see a silly person like this. You know, we have a class here. According to the Qadariyya, Allah did not know that we're going to have a class. When we come to the class, then he says, now he knows that, yes, these people are intending to have a class. What? Heavenly thing, atfal, if you tell them this, they will start saying, are this okay? Or did they visit the doctor or not yet? You know? Yeah, people like that, you know. That's why one of their leaders was there making, there teaching them. I don't know which battle he's teaching his students. And then one of the Bedouin Arabi came to him. He said, Sheikh, since he see him in the middle of the student, right? So this is a Sheikh. So he told him, Sheikh, please, I have a request. The Sheikh said, what is your problem? He said, I lost my camel. Please ask Allah to bring it. You know, people are always like that when they see somebody that they expect this person to be righteous, please make dua for me, right? Make dua for me. That's very natural. So he told him, Sheikh, please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring it back. This Qadri raised up his hand. He said, Ya Allah, innaka lam turid an yusraqa hadha al-jamal fusriq. He says, Ya Allah, you do not want this camel to be stolen, but it was stolen. Farudda. Ya Allah, bring it back. This Arabi, in his common nature, he said, Sheikh, please take this dua back. I don't want it. Sheikh said, Lima. He said, no, you make me scared. Because you're asking somebody who is very weak, because he told me last time he did not want it to be stolen, but the thief stole it. Goes beyond his irada. He said, I am afraid now he wanted to be brought back, and that thief is stronger than him. He will never bring it back. He said, let me go and look for somebody else, but not this one. SubhanAllah, very natural. You can tell, not tell Allah, because Qadariyya are trying to avoid saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unfair to the creation in the hereafter. That's why they said, you are the one who is creating your own action. That's why they end up being like Majus. They attributed the action to us. They said, whatever you do, you are the one who did. They did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't even know what you're doing. So that when he holds you responsible on the day of judgment, that's justice. You know, subhanAllah. And that's the result of attaching yourself to the falsafa which is taken from the Yunan, the Greeks and the alike, right? So we have the Mashia, right? But our Mashia is tabi'a li mashi'atillahi azza wa jalla. That's why At-Tahawi says, la mashi'ata lil'ibad illa ma sha'a alahu. أثبت لنا المشيء قال أثبت لنا مشيء. He established that we have a مشيء. لكن مشيئتنا تابعة لمشيئة الله. Our مشيء is following the مشيء of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. How many times you make a plan, you do everything, but Allah سبحانه وتعالى did not let it work. Wallahi, this is how it is. I remember one of the example I have recently. We're going to travel. My newborn baby couldn't have the visa on time. SubhanAllah, we still have a hope to travel with him. And between us and him, and the place where we get the embassy from, the Malaysian embassy, is a bit far. So I bought a ticket, I have a ticket for them, you know. SubhanAllah, you know, we got this visa the morning we are supposed to travel. And we're on the way to the airport, we go with everyone, you know. We got the news that this visa is already khalas purchased. I'm sorry, a visa is already printed on the passport in the morning. So what did I do? I bought a ticket to one of my good students living in that place. I sent him the ticket. He went there at the airport. SubhanAllah, that aeroplane got delayed for 2 hours. Well, nobody among us that was thinking of this trip not to be possible. Everyone already khalas, we're so happy celebrating, you know, enjoying our life. You know, but subhanAllah, right when we go there, they told us, no, it delayed. It reached, at the time they already closed the counter. In front of our eyes, we left. مَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْشَاءُونَ. You make a plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own plan. As a Muslim, he just submits. So when we reach that situation, we just apologize to them. InshaAllah, we'll come back to pick you up, be patient. But that's a very good example. I found it to support this fact in our aqeedah that Allah SWT is in control. It's always like that. If you monitor your life, you have situations and circumstances where you make a plan, and you do everything possible to make sure that it is executed, but then something will come and interfere and block you from doing it. What does that tell you? You are not in control. There is somebody in control, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said one of the Bedouins accepted Islam because of this. He said, because it's very obvious to me that there is somebody who is in control. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, if you understand this correctly, you will live a very comfortable life. You will never worry. You will try your best. If something goes beyond your control, you just go back and relax. You know that somebody is doing it, and you're not to be blamed because you did whatever you can. And ask him who stopped you from doing it to make this the best for you. And you will never see something that will make you regret. It is always like this. If you look at it properly in the way Sharia wants you to look at it. So Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, because you trust Allah SWT in whatever he did. And you know that Allah SWT, whatever he does, is full of wisdom in it. So you totally submit to Allah SWT to control your life in the way he wants. You put your effort and you let Allah SWT choose for you what is the best. And you submit to any decree of Allah SWT, then you relax. And Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ وَالظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah SWT, he takes whomsoever he wishes and put them in his mercy. That's the Jannah, that's the righteous people. And whoever you see in Jannah, it is mahdhu fadlin min Allah Azza wa Jal. And whoever you see from the zalimeen being taken to hell, wallahi, this is what they deserve, and this is justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an absolute justice for them to be punished according to their evil deed. If you live in our time, you will understand why hell is created. Yeah, Allah, if you live in our time, you will understand why hell is created and why day of judgment is necessary. Yeah. You're there sitting down, thinking good, but there are people out there planning for your failure. Not only you, but the whole humankind there in the world, they don't want peace to take place, you know. How many people are crying? How many people are dying? How many people are suffering? How many people are sick? How many people are depressed because of the evil actions, evil deeds of others? A lot. So that you will understand that Yawmuddin, you know, is necessary. And why Allah SWT says, Malik Yawmuddin, he's the owner of the Yawmuddin. No bribe, no bakhshish. What did you call bribe? No bribe, no any hidden, you know. That's what the kingdom belongs to Allah SWT on that day. And everyone has to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to face the evil consequence of what he planted here. So this is a very nice conclusion. You know, يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِي وَالظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So Jannah have been mentioned to us, and the path to Jannah have been given to us, and the way that can lead a person to hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. He says what? إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah showed you both ways. This one is a good one. This one is a bad one. Do not follow this. Follow this one. And we support you with the book, with the prophets and the messengers. It's up to you to follow either this or this. If you follow that one, Allah SWT says, I have a place for you. Whatever you follow is your choice, but I have a space for each and every one of you. So let's all together, inshallah, reflect upon whatever we learn from this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيرٍ. So one surah left for us, right? Alhamdulillah. Almost reaching another Ramadan, right? غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهَا.
So what he basically does directly after Aisha, he doesn't just speak and then he stands up and prays. Normally you think he's very sunnah, but what he said basically is praying to happen.
Yeah.
Directly, like tasbih and then stands up.
He does the tasbih, right?
Then two rak'ah tahajjud and then one rak'ah witr and then goes home. Does it count as qiyam al-layl?
Yes. Because qiyam al-layl starts from after Aisha. Right after Aisha. That's why the Prophet ﷺ told one of the companions, not to sleep before he prays the witr. Yeah, this is an option and a choice given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because not all of us can be able to wake up at that last part of the night. It needs strong azima. So in order to avoid excluding others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it open for everyone to catch up that great reward. So some people, they know if they reach their home, they cannot pray. What is the best for them? Right after you finish your prayer, do the dhikr. And the only wrong thing is what some people are doing. Right after the prayer, they stand up and pray the wajib. I'm sorry, they stand up and pray the sunnah. This is wrong. It's against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you pray the wajib, you shouldn't stand up immediately and pray the sunnah. You have to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or talk to somebody at least. Yeah, but as long as they talk to somebody or they do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they stand up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even one rakah is his witr. And witr is part of the qiyam al-layl. For sure, he would not be like those people who made effort to wake up and pray at the last part of the night. For sure. But at the same time, he is counted among those people who pray the qiyam al-layl. Yeah. And reward, we leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sincerity might be stronger than the one who woke up at night and prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows. That's why this aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah is really good. نَكِلُ السَّرَائِرَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ نَهُ يَعْلَمُ الْمُخَبَّأُ وَالْمَسْتُورُ وَمَا تُكْمِنُهُ أَوْ تُكِنُهُ الصُّدُورُ. What is in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, and we cannot see. So we let people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the one who judge them.
The story that we mentioned, the scholar asked those who he was debating to shower with soft water before coming to the debate. I wanted to know if there is a reason for asking them to do that.
Yeah, because what they do when they put that oil in their body, usually they said that kind of oil helps a person not to get burned very easily with the fire. So to take a precaution, because they know they might be disappointed by the jinn, so they put that oil. In the first place, when they have the support of the jinn, they can get inside the fire, because they did magic in our own eyes. You see him in fire, but he's not inside the fire. Take your idea. But if you have somebody who's so righteous, jinn doesn't stay next to him. Jinn doesn't stay next to him. So when that righteous person arrived in the place doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shayateen will leave that magician. And what happens is when he is alone, you know, then now when you have the fire, it's the real fire in front of him. If you ask him to go, if he goes, he's going to go inside the fire. Trust me, those people who are cutting themselves, you see them cutting themselves, they're not cutting themselves. This is like the sihr of the people of Musa alayhi salam, sihr ayun al-nas, the magic is in your eyes. You see it, but it's not real. So when you come, you recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, sincerely, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal, all the shayateen will go. But don't try it once. Because when he cut, he's going to cut himself. Yeah, when he cut, he's going to cut himself. I was listening to a story about one of the magician who repented. He said he repented because of a young boy. That he used to come with a knife and stab himself, but he's not doing it in reality. But people see the knife going inside. He said suddenly this boy came and he found him. This boy recited, I guess, Ayatul Kursi in the place. And he recited louder, the man hears, and the jinns, all of the shayateen left. So this magician tried to get it. By the time he brought the knife and the guy was reading Ayatul Kursi, shaitan ran away, he put the knife inside him. So he bled so much, and he knows that this boy is the one, because he was reciting louder. He went to the hospital for, I guess, 2 months. He was the one who was narrating the story. He said, the shayateen visited me. I gave them all the proposal I want. They told me we're going to take revenge. And subhanAllah, like one of the magicians from Sudan also said after he repented, he was given a lecture. He said, one of the amazing things I found in Zikr, he said, sometimes when we talk to the shaitan who was doing the thing for us, they won't do the magic against somebody. You know, they will go. You know, we talk to the Ifrit will command the younger jinn, you know, younger shayateen, not jinn. And they will go, they will come back to the sheikh. Astaghfirullah, the sheikh, to the magician. He said, they will come back to us and tell us we couldn't see. And the man is there walking in the street, but the jinn couldn't see him. And he said, they would tell us, sometimes they tell us, we check for him from the heavens and the earth. They told him, sometimes we can hear the voice of the man, but we cannot see where he is. SubhanAllah, shahid shahid min ahliha. You know, this is what they're saying, somebody who's in the system before. But you know, Rasulullah also mentioned this in the hadith of Wasiyat Yahya ibn Zakariya, this is how dhikr is protecting you from shaitan. So when he said that, what happened is the shaitan will run away, and now, the man, whatever he's doing, it will happen against him. So those musha'awizin in time of Shaykh al-Islam, they put the oil to take precaution. In case the shaitan left, they're going to go inside the fire. At least they can stay for a few seconds, you know, it will not burn them, and then they can run away, right? So the way to defeat them is to ask them to wash themselves with the salt. Salt will remove the oil completely. Yeah, that's the reason why he asked them to take shower with the salt. He wants the oil to go out of their body. Since they claim they're going to set the fire, he told them, wash yourself first and then come. They did. When they came, they refused to go inside the fire because they knew it would affect them. And at that time, shayateen were not around in that place to help. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq wal iman. Nothing works against these entities except iman. Allah says, وَلَا يِفْلُحُ السَّحِيرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. But you have to believe in that. لَا يِفْلُحُ السَّحِيرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. If you believe in it, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, nothing can happen to you بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
After the incident, the scholar was asked why he was very confident. Please correct me if I'm wrong. The answer was he did the hard all night.
Yeah, he said after he spent his night asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has some kind of yaqeen.
But then we were taught lessons about tawakkul.
On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawakkul.
We should not do that. So
these are rare cases. And that happens in the life of the righteous people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he even told them according to the story, I have the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disappoint me. In the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are told about some of those who put in an oil, boiling oil, and it doesn't affect them at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. So that mu'jiza, that karama remains until the day of judgment for the righteous people to take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps people according to the need. Yeah, that's why some of these stories, when they tell them, to them they're a fact. SubhanAllah, if not, they are established with authentic narration, you will not accept them. But to them they're a fact, and they're trustworthy to us, and they watch and they witness. They're talking about what they see, you know. Some of these stories, when Imam al-Nawawi is narrating them, you will not believe. But then you look at the capacity of Imam al-Nawawi, he is telling you this is mutawatir, people saw it, you know. You just have to believe. Yeah, nowadays it is not happening because of the nature of the way people are living. But in the past, they used to see these type of things from time to time, you know. That's why if you look into his life, you see a lot of things. Although they don't invite it by themselves, they go and do mughamara. No, they don't. But these are circumstances. When they come, they go with that, you know. And they will see amazing things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. You know, subhanAllah. Tamim al-Dari, Umar radiallahu anhu told him, please do something. When fire got in the forest, just like that, Umar told him, please do something. In a like Ilham, Umar just told him, do something. What did he do? He pushed the fire with his hand. Umar said, SubhanAllah, wallahi ra'aytu bi'ayni. I'm sorry. He was the one who is commanding him, but now he's the one who is amazed. He said, wallahi ra'aytu bi'ayni, that the man is pushing the fire to the forest. I'm sorry. You get it, Azuddin, right? You get it right. So these are rare cases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some of the scholars that kind of comfort in that kind of circumstances to believe that nothing will happen to them, to go for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. But you will never see them looking for it at the first place. Let's go and play with this. No, these are circumstances. And those guys in that community, only Allah knows how much they misguide. they have mushawwidheen, and everyone thinks that they are scholars. Yeah, they come and enter fire, they come and catch themselves, and nothing will happen to them, as they call them awliya. So he knows they're not, and people are misguided, so he went into that battle, and it works with him. And I'm afraid it will go worse. And he has another nice story with the Hulaku, when he went, Hulaku during the Mongols' time. He went to the Genghis Khan. Yeah, he went to fight. He went to go and give him nasiha, because his father fataka bil Muslimin, and the son came and he said he's Muslim, but he's doing worse than the father. So Sheikh al-Islam is saying, I told him I'm going to advise him. Student begged him. They begged. He said he has to go. And they know that this man, whenever he said he will, he is going to go. So they tried their best to stop him. He said, no, he has to go. He left to the palace. Some student decided to do mughamara to follow him. You know, they followed him. SubhanAllah, they mentioned that when he said some statement to the Hulaku, some of them will put their clothes and cover their face, because they know that at that time, after that, at any time, his head will fly. They don't want to see the moment he will die. You know? Yeah, because he really talked to him. He went until the time. They themselves, they said, actually, we don't know. How did we manage to get into that place? Because it's highly guarded by security. They found themselves in the place, they don't know how. Tawfiq min Allah Azza wa Jal. And he went and he put his knees. You know those kind of kings, you cannot even close. Those guys, some people think that they're Yajuj and Majuj because of their power, you know, and what they're doing to the humankind. So he went and he sat close, very close to him. You know, when he sat very close to him, you know, he started talking to him. He said, you should know that this position, you know, as many people has been there before you, and you're also going to join them. Your father was not a Muslim, but he did not do to the Muslims what you are doing to the Muslim now. He talked to him in this. At the end of the day, you know, they thought he will die. That king told him, Sheikh, what do you want? Nobody can believe that he is asking him, what does he want? He said, I want you to free all the Muslims that you captured. He said, you have that. He freed them, and the sheikh left the place together with the student. They did not believe that this is true. On the way, they said, Sheikh, actually, until now, we don't believe that this is a reality. Sheikh, we need to take your permission, because we believe that this is an ambush being planned by the king for you, to show you that he accepted whatever you say, but he's planning for you something there on the way. So they told him, Sheikh, please forgive us. We're going to change the way. We want to go with you, but we're afraid of the consequence on the way. He said, no problem, take your time, choose any way. SubhanAllah, he goes through this way, they go through the other way. He reached his home peacefully, and they were stopped by the thieves, and they took everything before they reached home. So these type of things happen in their life, you know, but these are rare cases. What Allah SWT doesn't want from us is to take the mughamara. Yeah, I am so and so and so and so and so, you know. The Qutbu Zamani, you know, move to Diyar. Nothing can happen to me, and then they go and take the challenge. No, that's ghurur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave me with my ghurur, and I face the consequences. But those righteous scholars in the past, none of them do that. But when the circumstance comes, they have unique iman, which karamat sometimes take place in their life. Yes, Abdurrahman, today is the longest class, so we stop. Okay, thank you very much. Those people who did not answer their questions, inshallah, in the next class on Saturday, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we will answer the questions, inshallah. Okay, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.